What a great reminder. And seeing that, what is the importance of the cattle in that Torah portion from Numbers? And it goes on to talk about the red heifer, we talk about a little bit later on. And so the symbolism, and when you understand that even in Judaism today, they are looking for another perfect red heifer to get the ashes from before they'll start building the temple. And of course, we know that next temple won't be built according to Scripture until Yeshua Jesus is involved in it, right? Yeah. And so with that, what a great reminder about redemption. And, and just for the record, a shekel is what? A little bit more than a half an ounce of silver. It's a temple shekel. And I think the market said that silver is 24 cents an ounce right now. $24 an ounce right now. That's an Israeli shekel, not a temple shekel. and the temple shekels were a pure silver. So basically what an Orthodox Jew today would, every time they have the firstborn that is born, they'll bring in about $125, $130 and give it to the Lord. But that, when we think about how really God went beyond just giving a shekel for our life, but He gave His life for us to ransom. And silver is representative of what? Judgment? If I remember, no, brass is judgment. Silver is a reminder of blood. It represents blood. And, think of all the silver that the tabernacle stood upon. And really, it's the blood that really redeems us, not the silver and the blood of Yeshua. So thank you, Pastor Beimer, for sharing that word from our Torah portion from Numbers chapter 3. I appreciate that. So let's continue to the Brit Hadashah portion where we're continuing our study in the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. And, a little kidding around today, when I found out that there was a Cleansing Stream makeup class, I know the Cleansing Stream talks about dealing with offenses. I'm like, oh, well, how many people would be offended if I taught until 1:30? And would they forgive me of that offense? And of course, we had a little joke about that. But don't worry, we're not going till 1:30 today. And so we're looking forward to that Cleansing Stream class. I'd encourage you to be a part of that. Let's look at this. From Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 7, it says, "What should we say then? Is the Torah sinful?" There are some people that teach that if you follow the Torah, that you are living in sinful legalism. And the Apostle Paul is saying, no, the Torah is not sinful. In fact, we won't know sin if it would not have been for the Torah. The Torah defines what sin is. "For I wouldn't have known what it means," Paul continues, "to covet if the Torah had said, 'You must not covet.' But sin seized the opportunity provided by this commandment and produced in me all kinds of sinful desires." So, here are a couple of points here. First, following the Torah is not sinful. And I'm so tired of people trying, "Well, you guys are so legalistic because you follow the Torah." No, God says, "If you love me, keep my commandments," right? There's only 10 of them. Let's follow those. It's not sinful to do these things. Second, the Torah defines what God considers a sin. And you have to remember that the penalty for just one sin is death, right? Yeah, just one violation of that Ten Commandments is death. And then thirdly, even though the Torah stirs up sin, it's not the Torah's influences that causes a person to sin, but it is the sole fault of the violator. It's like, I remember in class all the excuses. "Well, I didn't know. Well, I didn't know. Well, I didn't know." God says that's not an excuse. We have His Torah. We know what it says. Ignorance of the law, ignorance of the Torah is not an excuse. "Well, you know what? If the Torah wouldn't say that was sin, I wouldn't be living in sin." No, the Torah is written on our hearts, right? We know what's right and wrong instinctively. We know what's right and wrong. And so with that, like the phrase, "the devil made me do it," is not a valid license to do whatever you want. In fact, it is. We make choices. In fact, I've been talking to Geronimo a lot recently about making choices. Because she'll come to me and say, "Daddy, am I bad?" And I'm like, "Oh no, you're not bad. But you know what? You do make bad choices." "Well then, Daddy, am I good?" "No, you're not good, but you can make good choices, right?" And so really it all comes down to a choice. And of course, it's our choice and we reap what we sow, right? We have to remember that. So it's interesting to note that not coveting is something that happens as an eternal act. And I found it very interesting that the Apostle Paul chose this commandment. Because when you lie to somebody, it's something that's external, right? It's obvious. The words are spoken. There's deception there. If you steal from someone, there's action there. If you commit adultery, there's action there, right? If you, you know, fall down and worship another idol. You know, it was really funny because I was thinking this morning as I was getting dressed, I'm just like, oh, hey, yeah, that's right. The Kings won. They're going to the second round of the playoffs. I could wear my jersey and I could justify it because the name I had printed on the back says Hashem. And I'm like, oh, what a great example, because would that not be promoting idolatry in God's house and a distraction from the things of God? But it's interesting. All these things are external. But coveting is an internal struggle. It's an internal act. And our desire to want something that God has given somebody else, that is a sin to have that desire. You know, and I'm so tired of hearing people, hey, God blessed me with blah, blah, blah. Oh, must be nice. You're coveting. That's a sin. Knock it off. We should be, you know, it's interesting, we were watching, I'm sure you guys have all figured out that my wife and I are foodies. Two things that we always, you know, we're very religious about are hockey, and we love watching Food Network. You know, we learn these different ways to cook and all this different stuff, and we've come up with some great things. And we sometimes like to watch some of these programs, and there's this one program now that's on, it's called Giving You the Business. And I was watching it, and there was somebody who was in this competition, and they unknowingly, what they do is they spy on the employees to see how they respond to different scenarios. They put actors in to do crazy things as customers or employees to see if these people know how to manage that and are going to be good representation. And the person who wins and does the best job, they give them a franchise for whatever business they're working in. And I was sitting there watching it, and it was really neat because one of the guys that was in it, he was very bold about his faith, and he goes, you know, I came to this country from, I think it was Iran or from Iraq, one of the two, with my family because of religious persecution, because I'm a Christian. And this is the job I have, and I've been working at this place, and I think it was a deli, if I remember right, for 20 years supporting my family. And I'm like, oh, I hope that guy gets it. And it was great because, you know, seeing how he reacted and how he really tried to, like, you know, they gave this new employee and he's tried to help him and really went over the top on trying to work with him, and he's very good to the customers. And after the show was over and they made the determination, this guy got a business. He got a franchise. And you know what words came across my mouth? Exactly. All right, my brother got blessed. But how many times have we heard people say, oh, must be nice. Well, that's coveting because they want, you know, I want God to give me something like that. Well, you know what? We shouldn't focus on what God has given other people. We need to remember that every good and perfect gift is from God, and let's not covet. And when our brothers and sisters get blessed, let's join them in the celebration that God has blessed them. Amen? Yeah. So I, of course, was all excited. You know, I was watching it on demand, and it was kind of late at night. And of course, I'm like, "Oh, yeah! Oh, better be quiet. The kids are asleep." But I was excited because a brother in the Lord got blessed, and that's what we should be too. Is that we need to make sure that we're excited about these things. But you know what? When we allow pride to be our master, we don't get excited when our brothers get blessed. We don't get excited when our sisters get blessed. And so that is I find it very interesting that the Apostle Paul specifically went after this issue of covetousness. And it's interesting, in Judaism, in the writings of Qumran regarding coveting, they say it's a direct manifestation of the spirit of the flesh. And Rabbi Yaakum says, or he stated, he who violates the command, thou shalt not covet, is like one who transgresses all the commandments. Interesting that the rabbis put being, you know, saying must be nice or wanting what other people have as a violation of all the commandments. And of course, the rabbinical solution the rabbis teach that the remedy against this evil inclination is to study the fulfillment of the Torah. But you know me, I don't focus on rabbinical solutions. I focus on biblical solutions. And what does the Bible say? Well, from Psalm 119, starting at verse 9, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." By keeping it according to the Torah. "With all my heart I have sought you," the psalmist continues. "Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." So, what is it? Is it just studying the fulfillment of the commandments? No, it's hiding God's word in our heart, letting God's word totally consume us, right? So when we come across that situation, we do what Yeshua, what did Yeshua do? When sin came up, when the adversary came up, he quoted Scripture, right? Yeah, he didn't say, "Oh, you know what, I'm going to beat you up, devil. I'm going to stomp you out, devil." No. He just quoted Scripture to him. Right? That's why we treasure God's Word in our heart. So continuing on here in Romans chapter 7, it says, From apart from the Torah, sin is dead. At one time I was alive without any connection to the Torah, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity provided by the commandment, deceived me and used it to kill me. So really the point here is that Paul is stating that without the Torah, there was not knowledge of sin. You know, that coveting thing? We didn't have, there's other things that, murdering, yeah, that's wrong, we get that one. But that coveting, we wouldn't have known that coveting is a sin without the Torah. And because we have the Torah, we now know that sin brings about what? Death. And our response to sin should be that we put the master that enslaves us to sin and to death in our lives. We need to put that to death. And we need to serve God, which leads to life and a desire to no longer sin and a desire to no longer to speak death and a desire to no longer act out the things of death, right? Yeah. And, it's interesting because he continues and he wraps up this little paragraph by stating, "So then," this is his conclusion, "the Torah itself is holy and the commandment is holy, just, and good." And that really rang with me this week. The Torah is holy. The commandment is holy, just, and good. The commandments are holy, they're just, and they're good. And so I thought about that. Holy, kadosh, agios in the Greek. Something that is ritually pure, cleansed, and has been set apart for God. That's the definition of that word. Something that is ritually pure, is cleansed, and has been set apart for God. So, the Torah is God's guide on how we can draw close to God while we're here on earth. God's Word. And we can expand that just to, are you just saying the first five books? Well, really? Let's start at Genesis and go all the way through to Revelation, right? Because all Scripture is inspired by God. So let's not just pigeonhole a specific area of the Scriptures. All the Scriptures. And what does 1 Peter 1 tell us? Starting in verse 14, it says, "As obedient children, do not be shaped by the desires that you once had in your ignorance. Instead, just as the one who called you is holy, be holy in every aspect of your life. For it is written, you must be holy because I am holy." Yeah. God wants us to be set apart for Him. And just like the Torah is set apart for Him, it's something that is pure. It is something that is set apart. God wants us to be the same thing. And, just as the commandments in His Torah are holy, we need to use it to be holy. The song that we sang, some people, I remember singing that in various other ministries, and, holiness is what I long for, and then they'd go out and they wouldn't be set apart from the Word. I love that song, that's my favorite worship song. But how can you not live in it? Don't just sing the song. Let's go out and live it. Let's live it. And we have to remember, it's not really our standards or opinions that matter when it comes to the things of holiness. You know, does my opinion really matter if you think about it? In the big grand scheme of things, my opinion doesn't matter. When it comes to eternal life, my opinion doesn't matter, right? Whose opinion is it that matters? It's God's opinion that matters. You know, that's why when I'm talking to somebody and sharing the faith, in fact, I remember I was out hiking a couple of, it was 2 weekends ago, and Drona had this little monkey from play school, his name's Sandy, and they're supposed to take Sandy out on an adventure. And so I'm like, oh, well, you know, she wanted to go hiking. And I'm like, oh, fine, we'll go hiking, but we're going to go early in the morning. It's going to be hot. And I know what it's like. It starts to warm up. Then you start to see the rattlesnakes. And that's the last thing I need is a very rambunctious three-year-old on a trail with a bunch of rattlesnakes. Let's go early in the morning because nobody will be here. So we get up and the sun's not even up and it's this beautiful foggy morning and we're hiking up to this trail to the cross that's over off of Newport Road over there in Menifee. And so we're going up there and all of a sudden I hear somebody singing. I'm like, oh, what's this all about? I go, Jerome, we need to go talk to that person. Okay, Daddy. So I go over there and I tell the man, hey, you have a very beautiful voice. What were you singing? Well, I'm a Baha'i, and I was singing a Muslim prayer because, you know, we believe that God has come in many different forms, and He came as Muhammad, He came as Jesus, He came as Moses, and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh, what? You know? Well, that's the only way we're going to get peace is if we all, you know, we get salvation if we can bring about world peace. No. It's not your opinion that doesn't matter. God's Word says that we are justified by faith, and that's the only way that we can have peace with God. So let me ask you this. If what you believe isn't true, would you want to know? Because when it comes to eternity, we have to make sure it's God's opinion that matters. And I always like to joke around with those in Baha'i and in the, you know, when I talk to them. I'm like, oh yeah, I can agree with you. There's, you know, you guys state that all roads lead to heaven. Okay, yeah. But you know what? There's only one path that allows you to stay. And that's the path that when we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's the only path that allows us to stay because we're appointed once to die and then the judgment. And so all this stuff, and you've got all this heady knowledge, but you know what? If that's not true, what is it? Just knowledge. It didn't get you any place. And so, you know, and then of course, Drona had to pipe up and say, my favorite verse is John 3:16, and then she quoted it, praise God. So we planted the seeds because really it's not our opinion that matters when it comes to these things. It's God's opinion. And it's more than just God's opinion by salvation, but it's God's opinion on how we're to live our lives. And the first way is that we need to include His standards for holiness so that we can approach Him. And that's important to remember. The next word that is there, it says that, you know, that these are holy, they are just. And of course, you guys know me, I look at go look at the languages, and I didn't find the word for just. I found the word tzaddik, or the word deoxyoseone. Righteousness. Yeah, very good. Righteousness. So God's Word is just. God's Word is righteous. And I found that interesting. Because I think of the comparison of righteousness. You know, we sang that song, righteousness is what I long for. Whose righteousness? Our righteousness? No. All our righteous deeds are an unclean thing. It's God's righteousness, and it's only by faith in Yeshua Jesus that we can be righteous before God. That is the only path. And we know about righteousness. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that He is righteous, you also know that everyone who practices righteousness has been born from God. So, it's beyond just receiving the righteousness that Yeshua did for us, right? By faith. But it's also practicing the righteousness. Doing the right thing. And just as the Torah commandments are righteous, so is the person who practices the commandments. Really, we're supposed to practice those? Yeah! I mean, I can look around this room with confidence and say, I know you guys at least got two commandments right this week. You're here worshiping the Lord, right? On His day. And I pray that I'm not wrong, but I don't think anyone here has murdered anybody. Yeah, that's practicing righteousness. I went to worship the Lord. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't lied to anybody. I haven't committed adultery with anybody. I've given God the things that are due to Him. I haven't taken God's name in vain. And that's more than just saying a swear word, by the way. That is giving living a lifestyle that doesn't give God the credit for everything. Right? Yeah. And so, really, it's kind of transitive here. The transitive point is the person who practices the Torah, or the person who does the Torah's commandments, those are the people that are born of God. What does the Scripture say? It already knows about these things, right? We need to be righteous. We need to practice righteousness. We need to practice those commandments. It also says that the Torah is good. Tov. Right? All us Jews know Tov. Agathos in the Greek. And I think of Matthew 3:10, it says, the axe already lies against the roots of the trees, so every tree not producing good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Here's the point. Since the commandments of the Torah are good, we know the good fruits. And we know what it is by what is written here. Therefore, in order for us to be a good tree, we should do the things that are written in the Torah. But in my opinion, Rabbi, I don't think blah, blah, blah. Remember, our opinion doesn't matter. We have been given specific instructions, right? And where does it start? It all starts. The commandments hang on two things. All the commandments, all the Scripture hangs on two things according to Yeshua Jesus. Love of God and love of others, right? Remember when the religious leaders came up and one of the religious guys said, hey Yeshua, what's the greatest commandment in the Scripture? And what did he do? He quoted the Shema, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your resources. And the second commandment is like that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets, the Tanakh, all the Scripture depends upon those two things. And if you think about it, if you write, you know, love God, love others, and you line up, the first five commandments have to do with loving God. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me, right? Worshiping on Sabbath, remembering the Sabbath day. Keeping it distinct, keeping it holy. Yeah. Not taking His name in vain, right? Oh. Well, what about the children obey your parents thing? Honor your father and mother. The fifth commandment. Does that pertain to God? Yeah, you betcha. You know why? Because if you love God, you respect the chain of command that He has put over you. Right? Yeah. And then, the other side, loving others. If you love somebody else, you're not going to steal from them, right? You're not going to, you know, covet. You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to murder them. We talk about the ultimate hate for somebody is murdering them, right? Taking their life away. And what did Yeshua Jesus say? Hey, all of it, all of those Ten Commandments, all of the Scripture is all based upon loving God and loving others. And so, with that, our challenge is this. And I found the challenge in Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are, your translation might say just, but I'm going to put in what the Greek says. Whatever things are righteous. Whatever things are, your translation might say pure, but I'm going to put in holy. If it's righteous, if it's holy. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are good. Right? If there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So here the Apostle Paul is reminding the Philippians, hey, if it's true, is the Torah true? Yes. Is it noble? Yeah, you betcha. Is the Torah righteous? Yeah. Is it pure? Uh-huh. Is it lovely? I love the Torah, amen. Is it good? Is there virtue in here? Is there things that are praiseworthy in here? If there are, we are to meditate upon the things of the Torah. And since the Torah is holy, and its commandments are righteous, holy, and good, when we meditate upon them and apply them to their lives, did you know that God's Word promises us success? Yeah! Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the Torah shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." Remember, it's not our opinion. We can't just pick and choose the pieces that we like. We need to do all that's written in it. "For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success." Interesting. You will make your way prosperous. Meditating on God's Word is a choice that you make. It's a choice that I make. And when I say you, I got to point the finger back at myself too here. So let's just put "we" in there. If we are careful to do according to all that is written in it, then we will make our way prosperous and we will have success. So what is God calling us to do today? God is calling us, if we haven't already done it, to make a commitment to follow His commandments. Love others and love God, right? And when we change our perspective, and you know, that's one thing that God really had to work on me over the years. You know, and everyone knows my frustration with going out and fixing things and going shopping. I hate to shop. Oh, gosh. I hate shopping with a passion. My wife, she wants to go down every aisle. She wants to look at everything in every bin. And one of her favorite stores is Lowe's. Yeah, the guy's like, "Oh, really?" My wife, you know, Scripture says, whoever finds a wife finds a good thing from the Lord. My wife is a gift. She doesn't mind shopping at hardware stores. It's one of her favorite places to go. And of course, she'll sneak over to Michael's a couple of doors down as well. She likes to watch science fiction. She likes action movies. Her favorite way to see people die on screen is, you know, "Ooh, we got impaled on something. Yes!" You know, she gets excited. You know, God really got me a good one. But you know what? Still, even going like, "Oh, I hate shopping. I can't stand it." When I go, I make a list. And it's like, "Oh." And I'm not afraid. This is how much I hate shopping. I'm not afraid to ask directions. "Hey, could you point me to this, 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 this?" Okay, aisle 22, aisle 15, aisle 17. And I just go get it and I am done. I forgot where I was going with this. But with that, it's one of the things that I hate to do. I just can't stand it. But while I'm there, it never fails. Every time I have to go shopping, there's a way that I need to love on somebody when I'm there. Yeah. I need to love on somebody when I'm there. In fact, the other night, oh man, what a horrible day. Had a hard day. Matan decided that he was going to paint the walls with his stinky diaper. Exactly. And, you know, and I only, you know, I have it timed where I know when it's his nap time, I can put him down and Jerona's good with watching a few things on TV and Crystal can moan and it doesn't bother anybody. And I can sneak off for an hour and a half and go ride my bicycle or go down to the garage and go lift some weights. I just need to get some exercise. I just need to get out every day just for an hour and a half. That's all I ask. And so I go out on this ride and I come back and what has Matan done? He has not taken off his diaper, but he's reached in his diaper and he has painted the walls and the sliding glass door. And of course, Crystal's just like, oh, look, our son's an artist. And I'm like, oh, no, he's not. He's in trouble. And it's really frustrating because what did I want to do? I wanted to spend some time with the kids and I needed to get some shopping done because we were out of milk. Boy. So I didn't get to the grocery store until I think it was like 8 o'clock at night. I'm finally heading out to the grocery store on Thursday. Really frustrated. But while I was there, I ran into somebody who I'd seen before. And you know, this guy's not playing with a complete full deck. I know that. And he's wandered in and out of several different ministries in town. So, you know, I'm familiar with him. Hey, you know, good to see you. How you doing? You know, I'm glad I ran into you. We're at a new location. So, you know, if you need us to pray for you, here, this is where we're meeting at now. And God bless you. We're so good to see you. I hate shopping. I hate cleaning off the walls. But that was the delay I needed to get to the shopping that I didn't want to do because I had to go to get milk because that has been something that my wife's been able to take little sips of with some protein powder and keep down. So you know I'm going to go get it because that's the sacrifice I'm going to make for my wife. Duh, no brainer. But God used that so I could share His love with somebody in the store. And that was my focus change. Hey, when I'm going places, it's because I need to love on somebody. When I'm going someplace, maybe I need to share the gospel with somebody. When I'm going someplace, I might run into somebody I haven't seen in a long time who looks down and they just might need a hug and just say, hey, you know what? So good to see you. God bless you. And with that, when we live the Torah out like that, when we live out God's Word, looking for opportunities to share His love and to love on other people and to do what the Torah says, then we will have success. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.